turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. And as you're turning there, we're going to be studying over the next 6 weeks, Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at Jesus, his journey and his walk. We'll be looking at Jesus as a person. And we'll be looking at his journey to the cross and after the cross, leading up to what our journey will be like, our walk will be like. And if you would turn to Mark chapter 6. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. That was pretty good. I like that. I get excited when we come to the house of the Lord, and I was gone for a couple weeks, and I told you last time that I just felt like I've been gone forever. And we missed a couple Wednesday nights, and it felt like we were gone forever. So I always love being back in the house of the Lord and being around my family. It's like a family reunion when we come together each week. Amen? So as we look at Jesus the healer, we're going to start in Matthew, and we'll be bouncing around to a couple different chapters to look at some of his healings. And I want to look at some comparisons that he does. And in Matthew, or I'm going to say that all day because I was starting out in Matthew, but I decided to skip to Mark. It doesn't do any good to pull my Matthew section out of my Bible. I'm still going to say it. So Mark, and if I say Matthew, please just say you mean Mark and know that I mean Mark. Mark chapter 6. And we're going to start out in verse 53. So the tail end of Mark. In today's message, we're talking about Jesus the healer. And I want us to see where he is and see where the people are that are gathered around him. And especially to see where the people are that need healing. Because all three of those things, Jesus, the people needing healing, and the people around watching that, are all vitally important. And it says in verse 53, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Sennacherib and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. They ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. So Jesus is coming across on the boat. He lands and they say, oh my gosh, that's him. And they start running around to tell people. And be reminded that it says that they went all over the region. So this is probably over a period of several days where he's traveling and he's walking from place to place. And they began to carry about those people on bed that were sick. Wherever he entered into villages, into cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Now, can you imagine hearing this great healer is coming to your town? And people are walking. And they're carrying people. And they're carrying people on beds. So, a couple things to remember. If you're the sick one, hope and pray that you have friends. That when you're in need, they'll pick you up. And take you to a place of healing. If they're not, find a new group of friends that will pick you up and take you to a place of healing. Because you'll remain sick the entire time if they're not willing to help you out. But listen to what else it says. It says at the tail end there, when they went into the different cities, villages, wherever, they laid the sick in the marketplaces. And what did they do to Jesus? It says they begged him. Keep that in mind. They begged him. How many times do we read people begging to Jesus in the Bible? I'm not talking about there on the side of the road. We'll read about that in a minute, begging as well. But they begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just get close enough, could you guys please move out of the way? I've got to get my wife. I've got to get my husband. I've got to get my child, my parent. I've got to get him to Jesus. If we could just touch him, I know he'll be made well. Would you please just help me make a path to get up to him? And they begged him. to heal them. Turn over to Mark chapter 8, or Mark chapter 7, sorry, the next chapter. I'm confusing myself with two sheets of paper. Give me one moment. There, I'm set now. I'm still going to call it Matthew and still go to the wrong chapter. But anyway, I feel better. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And I was going to read just 31 about Jesus healing the deaf mute, but I wanted to go back in verse 24 and read this as well. And it says, "From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre of Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it." You can imagine traveling. Every now and then I see these pictures of someone on a beach, and it's from, you know, 5 miles away with someone with a massive lens on the camera this big. There's so-and-so on the beach, and I thought, man, who cares? Well, they cared when it was Jesus Christ, because he's trying to travel about the world as well. And there were people with their telephoto lens going, that's Jesus getting off the boat. Let's go follow him. He had his own paparazzi, if you will, but they had a different purpose. And he wanted to go into this house, and he didn't want people to know it. But it says, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now, it doesn't say in there that she begged him, but it does say she kept asking him. Kept on and kept on. And Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Eric preached this message several weeks ago, many weeks ago, and covered this passage. And then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Here's another healing that Jesus has done. He tries to travel quietly and secretly, but he can't. He can't get from place to place without people knowing and following him day and night. Going on in verse 31, says, "Again, departing from the region of Tyre of Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech." And what? "And they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, away from the crowd. And he put his finger in his ear, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed. And he said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly." And then, as we'll see in a couple other scriptures we read today, "Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Jesus does his miracle. He pulls the child away from the crowd of everyone. And he said, "Don't go tell anybody. I don't need you to make a big deal about this to anyone." I think we'd probably be the same way. You're not going to believe this. My child who was deaf and mute can now speak. Oh, and guess what? My child can also hear me. But go back to verse 32. They begged him again. They begged him, "Please come to my child and heal my child." Mark chapter 8, verse 22. "Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, He asked if he saw anything. And when he looked up, he said, I see men like trees walking. And then he put his hands on his eyes again. And he made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away in the house saying, neither go into town nor tell anyone in the town. Right off the bat, they begged him. He took him by the hand, led him out of town. Let's go away from the crowd. Let's just go off, you and I. Oh, and by the way, don't tell anyone about this. We don't need them to know about it. Turn again to Mark chapter 9. Verse 14. And this is a story about his disciples. He came to his disciples. And there was a great multitude around them. The scribes were there and they said, what's going on here? What are you guys talking about? And he asked the scribes, what are you talking about? And then someone there said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. And at times it goes on to say that sometimes he's thrown in the fire, and sometimes he's thrown in the water. And he says, I spoke to your disciples that they should cast out this evil spirit, but they could not. And Jesus responded and he said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they did. And when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And he said, how long has this been happening? He said, from his childhood. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit came out. And they looked at the boy and said, he is dead. And as Jesus often does when they proclaim someone dead is dead, he took him by the hand, raised him up, and they both got up. When he'd gone to the house, it said his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said, this kind can come out of nothing but prayer and fasting. Verse 15 says, the people came running to him. We'll look at one more in chapter 10, verse 46. Eric made reference to this last week in his message. And in the book of Matthew, where it talks about the same situation, it says Jesus healed two blind men. In Mark, we just read about blind Bartimaeus. And in Mark 10:46, it says, now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude following, of course, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. As a matter of fact, I heard Eric sang this song to King's Kids last Wednesday night. Blind man sat by the side of the road. And so for some of them, that was the first time they heard about the blind man sitting on the side of the road. Bless you. And I love this particular version of this story. He heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. He's sitting on the edge of the road and he begins to cry out. Now, I'm picturing a guy just sitting on the edge. And he's begging as he has done for years. He says, wait a minute, who's coming? Jesus. Jesus Christ is coming? He said, I've had it, man. I've had it. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they warned him and they said, shh, be quiet. That's Jesus Christ coming. And what did he do? He says, man, I've been down too long. They warned him to be quiet. He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. And he commanded and said, bring that man to me. Then they called the blind man. And we've talked about this before. Saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. Remember just moments ago, they were trying to quiet him. They were trying to squelch him. Shh, be quiet. That's Jesus Christ coming. I don't care. He's a Savior. He can heal me. I've heard about this guy. I don't need eyes to see. Remember Thomas? After Jesus appeared, he says, no. Until I see the holes in his hands, I will not believe that. Here's a blind guy. How is he going to see the holes in Jesus' hand? He had faith. He said, I know this is a guy that can heal me. Be quiet, it's Jesus coming. Son of David, have mercy on me. He hollers out even louder. And then they were his support team. Oh my gosh, be of good cheer. He's calling you up, go. I'm hoping there were friends to help him get to Jesus since he was blind. It goes back to make sure you have good friends that will get you there. If your friends aren't encouraging your healing process, find some new friends. If they're not telling you you are damaged and hurt or broken or whatever sometimes, in a loving and gentle way, of course, find some friends that will be honest with you. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said, go your way, for your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. He cried out to him. And when they tried to silence him, he cried out even louder. He wasn't going to be held back by that. We're going to prepare for baptism in just a minute here. If you guys are getting ready for baptism, come on up. In a few minutes, once we're done, if someone will get to the children's church as well. And as we get ready for that, I want you to think about this. They begged him. They begged him. They begged him. They ran to him. They cried out to him. Pride did not stand in the way of them receiving healing from Jesus Christ like it can today. And it did back then too. But my Lord, we sit firmly in our seats, afraid to go forward for healing for anything. And they didn't hold back. They said, they begged him. Please, if I could just touch this. They went forward. Man, I'm broken, Jesus. I'm hurt. I'm blind. I'm deaf. I'm dumb. That mute. Pride did not hold them back. As Eric preached last week, I looked out over the congregation. And I felt God telling me that there's broken people in here. Now, some of you may be broken, but he said some of you are broken for those that aren't here with you. And I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about family members, friends, neighbors, co-workers, whatever, that are lost. And God says, I can heal that as well. I can heal that. Some of you are struggling with choices. He can heal that. As we go down towards Easter in the next few weeks, we're going to learn about who Jesus is, who He was, and who He is. We're going to learn about those around us. Do we have people around us that will carry us up to that healing point? Here's what I want to do today. I just want you to raise your hand if you need some kind of healing. And I want to tell you carefully, if you're sitting with a loved one, a family member, a spouse, a brother, a sister, a friend, whatever it is, and you know that person is struggling, I want you to pick up that bed and help them say, you need to raise your hand. And I'll raise mine with you, so that you're not alone. Because until we hold each other accountable, and until we can be honest with one another and say, this is where we are, we can't let Jesus Christ come into our life and heal us. There is physical healing needed in the church body. But I'm here to tell you, God has been doing amazing things in this church body in healing. There are those not here today that need healing, that have upcoming doctor's appointments. We've been lifting them up in prayer. So there's physical healing, there's financial healing, there's spiritual healing. There's healing mentally. You say, I just need some healing because I've got some bad thoughts or people are getting me down. And here's all I want to do. I just want you to raise your hand if that's you. If you want me to tell everyone to close their eyes, I can do that. But I want you to raise your hands and I want you to leave them up till I'm done. Go ahead, let's just do that. If you want, guys, let's close our eyes. That may give people some privacy. Heavenly Father, those that have raised their hands today, that you would receive them today, that you would hear them today. Lord, that pride would not stand in their way today from healing. As we look at you as a person, us as the followers of you, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right, if you'll hold tight just a minute, we're going to prepare for baptism here. I'll be with you in just a minute. Rex, if you can mute me for just a moment. Well, what a glorious day it is today as we baptize those believers. And I had to say, wait, which one's Byron and Alan? Because I get so confused because we welcome them in at the church at the same time. Church, hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 28. And He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of His presence with us, we want to baptize those that He's called to be His own today. Alan, in presenting yourself for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want to study Him, know Him, love Him, and serve Him as a disciple. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in Him? Do you intend to be His disciple and to obey His word and show His love? All right, let's cross your arm over here. One arm, hold your nose there. I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Eric, if you can grab a microphone off one of those stands there. Do you have something you want to share with us? briefly? Just don't hold the microphone. We don't want any electrocutions.
I just want to share with the crowd that this is a life-changing experience.
Amen.
That I just witnessed. And when I was standing out there in that little room, I was a completely different person than I am now.
Amen.
And this is a great experience, and I hope everybody gets to have this experience.
Do not miss the opportunity. Thank you. Byron, in presenting yourself for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want to study Him, know Him, love Him, and serve Him as a disciple. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in Him? Do you intend to be His disciple, to obey His word and show His love? All right, Byron, let's grab your arm. Put one arm right there, hold your nose. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you have any words you want to say, Eric? You got a microphone, just don't hold it.
Hey, everybody. We really appreciate everyone here. You know, a lot of this is due to you. And whenever we have hard times and we're around the wrong people and we remember someone here, a lot of times a lot of you. And thank you for being our family. We love you.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's step out. Experience that has been. And for us to witness that for them, for us to love them and to love those that have been baptized, and Jesus Christ welcomes them in and says, you're a part of this family, and we welcome them in to our family as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You for calling us to be a servant people and for adding to our numbers today those that are baptized. Together may we live in Your Spirit and so love one another that we may have the same mind of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. Help remind us of the promises given at our own baptism. And help us to have our trust in You renewed today. Make us strong to obey Your will today, to serve You with joy for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.